prayer. Continue to pray. The Lord bless our service together tonight. Psalm 40 is a little more uplifting than some that we've covered lately. I hope that you've gotten something out of the last couple. Last week it was kind of a challenge. Seemed like it was just not quite as upbeat as some have been, but the subject matter wasn't either. But it is the Word of God. Psalm 40, a little more familiar, perhaps, as far as a passage of Scripture. I've put a title on this as Patiently Waiting and Trusting. Patiently waiting and trusting. You know, we have to wait on the Lord, don't we? We don't have an option, do we? But how we wait on the Lord, now, that can vary, can't it? All right? So patiently waiting is much better, isn't it? This psalm takes us from a horrible pit of trouble and despair to rejoicing and settled trust in the God who is able to help us in any trial. So may we remember this great lesson. Verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, being recommended to the chief musician, then this psalm should be a regular part of our worship. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. Before I get into the notes here, what a blessing it is that we're blessed to know the only true and living God. You know, we think about idolatry. We read the Bible, and those idolatrous nations that had their idols, and they put so much trust in those things, when really they were just the imaginations of men. No power, no ability. You know, Psalm 115 talks about eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. Neither do they speak through their mouth. Okay? So, but our God, Psalm 115, I believe it's verse 3, it says, but our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. So when we think about the true and living God, we do have one that we can call upon who has all power. All power. So, now to the notes. Everyone experiences those times when great trouble is facing them. Anybody here that's never had any real bad trouble? I know, you know, that's a relative term too, isn't it? but we've all had those things that have bothered us tremendously. Okay? And in those times, we need to be reminded to wait patiently. But that's perhaps the least... That's perhaps the time that we want to hear that the least, to wait patiently. Now, this is not just sitting around and doing nothing, to wait patiently. We've talked about the term, the biblical waiting, and I didn't go into that at length here, but when in Romans 12, when he talks about he that waiteth, you know, that gift of waiting. And it's really a gift of serving, okay? Generally, when we speak of that, we talk about how when you go to a restaurant, if they have a waiter, you don't want that waiter to just sit there and do nothing, do you? His job is to attend to your needs or to be observant and whatever might be needed to try to serve you in that way. Now, biblical waiting is like that. We need to continue to serve the Lord. We need to look for whatever we can do in the kingdom of God. If there's something that we're asking the Lord for help with and he hasn't answered us yet, then we don't sit around and do nothing. We continue to serve while we're waiting for the answer we're looking for. All right, so we're not talking about just sitting around doing nothing. We're talking about patiently waiting, all right? So not just sitting around doing nothing, but remembering what we know, looking for how we can serve the Lord, expecting that in his time he will show us what we should do, okay, and trusting that he will hear us and help us in whatever trouble we have. Now, that's not to say that he's always going to answer in the way we've asked. We understand that, don't we? Well, we're probably well-versed in that. But he hears us, he loves us, and so we need to remember what it is that we know. Remember, the Lord does love us. And so he's going to take care of his own. All right? So we need to remember that, don't we? All right? So while we're waiting, we want to be serving. What a blessing that we can rest in knowing that God hears us and that he is well able to help us. You know, by the way, from time to time we hear this, the idea that some put forth that, you know, God wants to save you or God wants to do this or he wants to do that. Well, I've already quoted Psalm 115 verse 3, which says, "Our God's in the heaven, he has done whatsoever he hath willed." So God does his will. Granted, we don't always do what's pleasing to him, all right? But we need to remember that God will do his will, and he's able. The point I'm trying to make is that he is able to supply our need. Now, isn't that far better to rejoice in the fact that God has all power and he's able to do his will, rather than to think that man can frustrate God and hinder him from doing what he would want to do? Okay, Isaiah 42 says, he shall not fail. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he would come and do the will of the Father, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. Now understand that we rejoice to know that he did that in relation to our eternal security and eternal salvation. But don't you think that also applies to him taking care of his children? I tell you, I get great comfort in knowing that God loves us and he's willing to take care of us and he's well able to do it. I don't know of anything anymore that can make you feel any more helpless than for your child or for someone that you love needing help and you're just not able to do it. Makes you feel helpless, doesn't it? Oh, but we can call upon the one who is able. And he's the only one. All right, so the sooner we turn to him in our trials, the more rest and comfort we find. You believe that? All right. We need to remember that, don't we? The sooner. You know, I'm afraid, and we've all been guilty of turning to God as a last resort. You think the flesh and pride has something to do with that? Oh, we'd be so much happier if we'd seek the Lord sooner. All right? Not as a last resort, but a first resort. Okay? Let your heart just flee to the Lord and whatever your need might be. All right. David continues to tell us what the Lord did for him, saying in verse 2, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit." Now, David had some experiences, didn't he? I mean, you've read the Bible. You understand some of the things that David faced. And I mean, there were some things that God blessed him to do that were superhuman. All right? It wasn't David. God blessed it that way. All right? And here he says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Whatever this trouble was that David has into consideration. And we'll get to the fact in a moment that we like to apply this to our eternal salvation, and it certainly applies. But you can also think about times when God has delivered you here in this life. But here he says, he delivered us out of brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Now, miry clay, I didn't get into that in the notes here, but have you ever been caught in the miry clay? Pardon? Yeah, it works too. Missouri's got some too. I used to baptize in a fish pond. And if you didn't keep those feet moving, you were going to be there a while. And I suspect that's that way a lot of places. All right, the miry clay. We're talking about something that you can get bogged down in, and you'd get in trouble quickly if you didn't do something. I hear stories every now and then from Kenneth and Jonathan about what they get into, surveying, going through creeks and things like that. But we've probably all been there. It can be life-threatening. The miry, all right, sinking down and continuing to sink down. Isn't that the way trouble is? It just weighs you down, doesn't it? When you really have trouble, it's just like you're carrying the weight of the world, right? And if you're not on a good standing, it just sinks you down. Makes you feel like that you're just going to perish. That's how David felt. When you read these Psalms, put yourself in his shoes. Put yourself in his place and see what the word is conveying to us. You might find that you've been there too. And so this word is speaking to us about those times when troubles are great. This horrible pit, all right? Lifted him out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my going. The Lord lifted him up. Has the Lord ever lifted you up? I hope so. I hope you've experienced this deliverance that David is speaking of. Here, David here describes from what he was delivered as it had been a horrible pit. And many trials in life are like that. The weight of great trouble weighs us down, causes us to feel that we're sinking in miry clay with no way to get out of it. Okay? We feel that we're stuck. You know, that's one thing about great trouble, isn't it? Sometimes you just don't see any way out. Well, the Lord's always got a way out. We may not. We often don't. But the Lord does. We fear that we're perishing. But thanks be unto God, we can turn to Him for help. He can lift us up. Right? Okay, I hope you can agree with that. And He can deal with any trouble we have. Do you believe that? All right? Well, then that means that we'll never face anything the Lord can't deliver us from. Somebody might say, well, duh. Well, that's true, but you need to experience, you need to have that confidence. When you're facing trouble, not doubting, but patiently waiting on the Lord for His answer and calling upon Him for it. Okay. David experienced this and was moved by the Holy Ghost to tell us all about it. That's what the scriptures are, aren't they? What Romans 15, 6, is it? Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. David went from despair to great hope and rejoicing. Perhaps you've been there as well. Maybe you can relate to that. All right? All right, and we know the scriptures are true and faithful. The greatest reason of all that we can rest in this promise is that we know that God has already given the greatest deliverance of all to his people. And what's that? Yes. He's already done that for us. Now, David wrote that before it happened, literally. All right? But we can read this tonight and we can see that, yes, there was great faith and confidence that David had in the Lord. But we live on this side of Calvary. And he's already saved us. And he's blessed us to know it. So we can see that God is already taking care of the greatest problem we ever had and ever will have. It's already done. Does that lighten your heart a little bit? Does that cause you to rejoice? All right. So that problem is salvation from eternal misery and woe that we deserved because of our sin. We can't blame Adam entirely, can we? We had plenty to do with that. Okay, I understand the doctrine of original sin. I understand depravity, but we've contributed. We're guilty. Through Jesus Christ, his Son, all of the elect family of God are safe eternally. Can you rest in that? Isn't that a wonderful thing to rest in? I mean, there are wonderful people in this world. Love the Lord, will do anything in the world for you, but they don't have that peace. They don't understand eternal security. They're God's people. They're just as secure as you and I, but they don't have that peace and that understanding. I can just think in my mind when I bring that point up, and I can just see faces of dear ones that I've known that has passed on, and no doubt they're in the presence of the Lord. At least their spirit and soul is basking in the sunlight of his presence right now. But they would go tonight worried sick about this or that one that they didn't think were saved. Well, I understand having a concern for one another, but what a blessing it is to be able to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. Now, since God has already done that, I mean, that's the greatest thing you ever needed. Don't you think he would be willing and able to help us in whatever timely deliverance we need? Don't you think so? Now, when I say deliver, let's see. Try not to get ahead of myself in the notes here, but you know where I'm going with this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were they delivered? But they had to go in the furnace, didn't they? See, some folks think that when you say you'll be delivered, then you never have to have a trial or heartache. No, that's not the way it is. But how wonderful that even though Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the furnace, not even the smell of smoke was on their clothing. God took care of them. I suppose they had the best seat in the house. If the Lord's right there with you, and if the Lord's taking care of you, how wonderful. I'm telling you, we're still talking about it tonight. It made quite an impact, didn't it? All right? That's why we need to tell folks how the Lord has been good to us. All right? So let's get back to the notes. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. That cheers my heart. How about yours? Nothing can come upon you that God doesn't know about or that he cannot handle for you. That's encouraging, isn't it? You know this, but it cheers your heart to be reminded, doesn't it? All right? This is the promise of help that each of God's children have available to them at all times. It's there. It's available. I'm afraid sometimes we get caught up in the moment and caught up in the pressures of life, and we might not think about it like we should, but it would sure do us some good if we would. Right? Okay. And the remembrance of that will save us from despair. Now, just like the Bible, every time the Bible talks about being saved, it's not talking about eternally. You know, Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you." All right, that's a timely deliverance. That's a timely salvation. All right? Remembering our security in Christ, remembering our position in Christ, remembering the truth of the gospel, oh, it'll save us from a lot of despair in this world. All right. So when David cried unto the Lord, what happened? God heard him. God lifted him up out of that horrible pit. God set his feet upon a rock, right? What does he mean by that? It gave him something solid on which he could stand. We're not literally talking about, when we think about the saving influence of these promises, we're not literally talking about finding a rock to stand on, are we? We have a rock to stand on, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the rock-solid foundation of the truth of God and what God has done for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can stand on that till he comes again. It's a good foundation, isn't it? All right? So that is what we have when we know and understand that God has come to our rescue. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? You think about that for a second. Maybe you've already thought about it a lot, but just think about it. If God's for us, what does that mean? If we're his, if Jesus died for us, we're eternally secure in him, aren't we? Heaven's going to be our home. We might have some trouble between now and then, but heaven will be our home. So may we, some may say, I didn't misread that. Some may say they were lucky or that simple fate had worked in their favor. I just cringe when I hear people talking about karma. I understand the principle, and it's alive and well. But Jesus talked about it as being sowing and reaping. And he's the original word. Let's give credit to whom credit is due, okay, not some philosopher. But when you've cried unto the Lord and he answers and delivers, then it's time to thank him and him alone for his mercy and his help. Right? All right. And this shows us that his way is best. So this should establish in our mind that our way got us into trouble, but in his way is safety. Every time. Okay? Now that doesn't mean it's free from trials. but that there is safety and deliverance in our trials when we go through them trusting in God. Right? Okay, still with me. All right, next we see what else the Lord did for David, saying in verse 3, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." All right, he does these things for us, and it's a blessing for us, but it's not just for us. We ought to share those things. Has the Lord been good to you this week? Have you told anybody about it? I know some people don't want to hear it, but some people do. I like to hear when God's people have been blessed. I like to hear when you had some particular experience where you feel like the Lord had mercy upon you and blessed you. I like to hear that because I like to hear that God is still doing those things for his people. He sure has been good to me. How about you? All right. So he put a new song in his mouth, even praise to our God. All right, this new song is new for at least two reasons. You could probably come up with a long list, but I've got two we're going to talk about tonight. Whereas before, David felt that he was perishing, remember? All right, now he's singing the song of deliverance and praises. He's got a new song. He's got a new tune, doesn't he? We're talking about a new song. And only God could do that, right? So he's the one that gets the praise. He's the one who gets the glory. And we ought to be giving it to him. We ought to be moving our lips in praise and adoration to our God for his mercy upon us and all the blessings he's given us. I put a note here to Exodus 15. Remember that? When the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt and they had their backs to the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was coming and they didn't have any weapons, they didn't have any way to defend themselves. But they weren't waiting patiently either, were they? There was some panicking going on there. There was some murmuring and complaining going on there, right? Perhaps they thought they were about to be in a horrible pit. And they were in the distress that David was sharing in this. And then all of a sudden, the Red Sea opens up. Has he ever opened the Red Sea for you? When you couldn't see any way of deliverance, the Lord just came along and opened up a way. I'm not going to get on a soapbox here, but I really despise all these movies coming out nowadays. I shouldn't say all, because I hear that one or two of them has been pretty good, but there's some pretty air-filled, I'll put it that way. I'm not going to judge the motive, but there's a lot of errors in a lot of these biblical things that's coming out in the form of movies here lately. But that old movie, The Ten Commandments, thought they did a pretty good job of parting the Red Sea. I'm sure you've played that in your mind a lot. Maybe that's your impression of what it looked like. Whatever, we're not talking about a mud puddle. We're talking about the Red Sea. And God parted it and congealed the waters so that they stood up in heaps. And the children of Israel, they didn't sink in the miry clay. They went across on dry land. But what happened to their enemies who tried to follow them and do the same thing? They didn't have the same God delivering them, did they? And so they bogged down in the miry clay, didn't they? with no deliverance. And the waters came crashing down upon them. You need to read that Exodus 15 sometime. What a blessing. And when they stood upon the banks on the other side of the Red Sea, and they saw their enemies defeated, whatever remnants of that army, perhaps there were some things floating in the water, and they knew their enemy could not bother them anymore. Wow. That works eternally, doesn't it? Because Satan is defeated, isn't he? He's just not just subdued, he's defeated. But God can handle whatever we have to face in this life. All right. He had a new song in his mouth. Whereas he was perishing, now he's singing the song of deliverance. And friends, when you have experienced a deliverance, great or small, spend some time thanking God and praising Him for His mercy and goodness to you. Now that's important. Spend some time thinking about it. That's why it's good to talk about it. It reinforces your own memory. Somebody else might bring up a point that we missed. There may have been a great blessing or a great aspect of that deliverance that we hadn't even zeroed in on and noticed. It's good to talk about it because you'll remember it better. And if you'll remember it better, it'll have more of a lasting effect upon you. Okay? So it's good for us to talk about those things. So we need to spend some time, when God's blessed us, we need to spend some time thinking about it, sharing it with others, praising God for it. This will be laying up treasures in heaven. Do you know that? It's a good thing to do, isn't it? Laying up treasures in heaven. Casting all our care upon Him. Thanking Him, praising Him, sharing that with others so that He gets the glory. That'll be laying up treasures in heaven. It'll be a deposit into the bank of heaven that will pay great dividends in the days to come when you face other and perhaps more difficult troubles. Part of the reason that we have trials and difficulties in life is to strengthen us. We don't know what lies ahead. Whatever's there, we know God will be there. He'll be there for us. But trials should strengthen us. Have your trials made you bitter? Or have your trials made you better? It's your choice. It's your choice. All right, back to the notes. Now, another reason why this song that God put into David's mouth was new. We talked about how that he'd been delivered. Instead of perishing, now he was rejoicing. So he put a new song in his mouth that way. But here's another reason. No sincere praise to God will ever grow old in the heart that loves God and rejoices in His grace. That song will be forever new. That's the song we'll be singing in heaven's pure world. Praise to our God. As we think about when in heaven, we'll be singing the praises of the Lamb that was slain and has redeemed us unto our God out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. What is that, Revelation 5:9? I believe it is. All right. So, that's the other reason why this is a new song. It's a song that never grows old. Now, let me get back to the notes because I'm about to get ahead of myself. If genuine praise to God does not cause you to rejoice with them, you need to check your heart. You need to renew your mind and get your head on straight. All right, because for God's people, our first priority, our first responsibility is to praise God, glorify Him. But people can get caught so caught up in this world, they don't have any desire to do that. You know, if you feed the flesh, the pull of the flesh is going to get stronger. If you follow after the Spirit, the pull of the Spirit is going to get stronger. You'll always have that conflict between the flesh and the Spirit, but if we continue to feed our Spirit, we can grow in grace. We can be stronger in our efforts to serve the Lord. All right? There are already too many people in the world who have turned away from God. Would you agree with that? I don't believe for a moment that all those people, you know, I have to believe, just because we have examples. We talk about John Newton a lot, don't we? Who lived many years living a very ungodly life. And yet God blessed him to write Amazing Grace. And he was writing his experience. Saul of Tarsus. Who would have thought God would use him to preach to his people? But he did. And it warms my heart to read of experiences of people that were so lost in this world, and yet by the grace of God, their life has changed now. God can do that. God can do that. But if you have felt his deliverance, then you need to say so and show it to those around you. David said, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You never know what somebody else might be going through. And your word of encouragement or your good example or your boldness in the Spirit just might be what they need to also be bold in the Spirit and faithful to God. You know, isn't it encouraging to us when we see somebody showing a love for God out in public? You know, they don't have to go around saying, I love God, I love God. Just by their demeanor. Just by their actions, best by what they stand for, you can tell that's a God-fearing person. Doesn't that encourage you? Well, are we always needing somebody else to encourage us, or can we be the one who's encouraging somebody else? Wouldn't that be great? That's what we ought to be every day. If God's blessed us to know Him, know He's all-powerful, know that there's nothing that we'll ever face that He can't handle, why can't we be the one that's an encourager? I'm always thankful for the encouragers. Let's be one. All right? So David said, many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's letting your light shine, isn't it? So it can be a blessing to those around us. Thus David says, verse 4, blessed is the man, or blessed is that man, that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. We're trusting in the Lord, aren't we? All right. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Do I have to explain that? I think we all understand that. My goodness, we could spend a lot of time talking about the mighty acts of God, the wonderful blessings He's given to us. And we ought to. We ought to. All right? Now, while the next few verses speak vividly of the perfect work of Christ when He came, we should also relate them to this and strive to do the same. That is, David speaking of this experience of being lifted out of the horrible pit. All right? Verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Doesn't that just sound like the Lord Jesus Christ? In every way he did the Father's will. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He delights. He delighted when he came to do the Father's will. Well, shouldn't we delight to do the same? That's the example we need to follow. He's the perfect example. We need to follow that, don't we? We need to delight to do his will. All right? So in keeping his law in our heart will enable us to delight in his way. Do you believe that? David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do you treasure the Word of God? If you're treasuring the Word of God, if you're storing it up in your heart, it'll be precious to you. Now, note how David responded to the mercy God had shown, saying in verse 9, and I've underlined the action words, those verbs that he gives us here in these statements. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I guess I should have explained the great congregation. That's God's people. All right? God's people. There are many, many groups, many congregations, but he's speaking of God's people at large. Great congregation, all right? Those who have an interest in these things, those who have a love for God, those who can sincerely praise him, that's the great congregation. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. In other words, he spoke of these good things the Lord has done for him. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. The New Testament language for that, Jesus talked about no man lighteth a candle and putteth it under a bushel. If God's given us light, then we need to let that light shine forth. Okay? So he's not hid it, thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. It is his salvation. He's the one that saved us. We need to praise him for it, don't we? All right? We need to declare that. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. There's value in us sharing one with another the good things the Lord has done for us. He might have done the same thing for us, and we might not have stopped to think about it. And that encouragement and that sharing of those good things just might be something that would lift us up. You ever need lifting up? You ever get discouraged? You ever get cast down? You ever feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders? I talked about encouragers a while ago. Remember a man in the New Testament by the name of Barnabas? I've told you a number of times, but do you remember what his name means? Encourager and a load lifter. Now, the Lord's the one that has all the grace and glory, but you can sure be an encourager to others, can't you? You can be a discourager as well. It's your choice. All right. Thus David asked in verse 11, Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. We need that saving influence each day, don't we? I just love the word loving kindness. It just says so much of how God is, what He is, who He is. His loving kindness. We didn't deserve any of His blessings. He's been so good to us, and He continues to be good to us. He just gets better and better, doesn't He? In our understanding. Okay? He can't be any better. He's perfect. He can't change. But we can certainly understand more of His goodness, more of His loving kindness. Why? Remember, David said, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Why? For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. When we're thinking clearly, we see and feel remorse for our iniquity. Now, iniquity, that's that drawing of the flesh to sin. That's that propensity of sin within us, that old flesh nature. All right, so, well, let me stay with the notes here. Troubles just amplify them. In other words, that iniquity that's within us, when we're faced with troubles, it just seems like it amplifies. Instead of being discouraged, or instead of being encouraged, it drags us down. But in those times, we should pray. All right? But here's what David prayed for. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Be pleased. In other words, if it's your will. Submissive to His will. That's how we patiently wait, isn't it? Wait patiently on the Lord. Being submissive. Lord, Your will. Help me to do Your will. Help me to see Your will. Help me to know Your will. Help me to do Your will, not my own. So be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for reward of their shame that say to me, aha, aha. God will deal with them, won't He? And that's, we've encountered this many times in the Psalms when David speaks of what God will do. And that's the righteous the righteousness of God and the desiring that righteousness be done. And we know that God will deal with the wicked. God will deal with those who oppress His people. God will deal with them because He takes it personally. You remember, let's just very quickly here, you remember Saul of Tarsus? He was persecuting the saints, wasn't he? I mean, there was nobody in his day that did more to try to destroy the church and God's people than Saul of Tarsus. In my continued study, I've come to that conclusion that that's why Paul said that he was the chief of sinners. Because nobody else in the world in his day did more to try to destroy the church. I mean, he compelled saints to blaspheme. He was ferocious in persecuting the saints. But when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, do you remember what he said? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou them? No, that's not what he said. No, he said, why persecutest thou me? He takes it personally. When you persecute one of God's children, he's going to deal with that. Okay? All right. So God will deal with them. Verse 16. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Now, did you catch how that's worded? Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Is everybody going to do that? Is he asking that everybody do that? You know, I think I see some election in that. I think I see something that only God's people are capable of doing. And even that is God's people after they're born of the Spirit, because it takes the Spirit within them to have that desire to seek thee. He says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. God's people are going to do that. Let such as love thy salvation. Do you love the salvation of the Lord? Is it precious to you? Is the grace of God precious to you? You know, that grace, it just gets sweeter and sweeter. The more we understand grace, the more we understand how much we don't deserve it, and yet how gracious the Lord has been to us. So let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. See the exhortation that God's people need to be speaking about the goodness of God. Not just the preachers, all of us. We need to be speaking of how God's been merciful to us, good to us. So not all, but seekers. Humbly rejoicing always, right? Isn't that the theme of the book of Philippians? Don't you love Philippians? Now, we love all of it, don't we? But there's just something special about Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. And again, I say rejoice. Don't miss that. All right? So we should be rejoicing always because they have been brought from that horrible pit unto rejoicing in their deliverance. The more we thank God for the deliverance, the more we'll remember the deliverance that we experienced. Okay. Verse 17. But. Now he's exhorted those that are seeking the Lord, those that love his salvation, to say, To say continually, the Lord be magnified. And we should. Then he says, but. I am poor and needy. Is that you? Do we need the Lord? Well, if he's blessed you, if he's blessed you to know him, if he's blessed you to know what Jesus has done for you, if he's blessed you to know that you can never be separated from his love, which is in Christ Jesus, do you still need him? Yeah. So even though we can rejoice and magnify his name, we still come back to the fact that I'm poor and needy. I still need the Lord. But I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Oh. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, oh, my God. Although delivered, he realized he would need help again. Isn't that right? We go through this life. It's a life of hills and valleys, isn't it? Sometimes we're on the mountaintop, thank the Lord. And we can magnify his name. Sometimes we're in the valley. Sometimes life is hard. But God is the same. That God that we're praising on the mountaintops, He's just as worthy of that praise when we're in the valley. He's the same. All right, so, but trusting in the Lord, we can rest in His care and praise Him for His grace. He lifted us out of that horrible pit, put our feet upon a rock. He established our going and put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Does anybody know about it? David said he was going to talk about it. He wasn't going to hide it in his heart. He wasn't going to refrain from speaking about it. He was going to tell somebody about it. He said, many shall see it and trust, or in fear, and trust in the name of the Lord. May God help us to honor the Lord and thank Him for it and share those experiences one with another. You never know who you might encourage along the pathway. May God bless you is our prayer.